The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his clothes became a dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with him anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O
Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's a joy to be with you here this morning. I wish there was more people here this morning. I could deceive myself and say, well, people aren't here because it snowed a lot yesterday. People aren't here because it's a long weekend and school is out and they're traveling everywhere. I could tell myself all sorts of reasons. People will tell themselves all sorts of reasons. I often equate going to church as often like going to the gym. People buy gym memberships. And they have good intentions. They're going to lose a certain amount of weight. They're going to work out a certain amount of times every week. They're going to take up a certain diet. And they start in earnest. They might get up every morning or go every day after work. They might start eating more fruits and vegetables and passing on the French fries. But slowly over time, the majority of people backslide. All of us have a certain way of living. We have a certain diet that we like to consume. We have a certain schedule we like to keep. And it's hard to work to change it. We recognize that change is often very hard. Same is true with going to church. People I talk to, when I say, "Hey, I haven't seen you at church in a while, what's going on?" Or sometimes they just come up with an excuse before I have a chance to ask them, "Pastor, sorry we haven't seen you, but. And I'll ask them, "Well, what would help get you here more often? Services at the wrong time. Could be music. Children are too loud. Pews are too hard. Who knows?" The list can go on and on. But at the end of the day, we really do just deceive ourselves. People aren't here today because they made a choice not to be here. I can't lie to myself and deceive myself and say, yes, they want to be here, but they were snowed in. You made it here, I made it here without much effort. I could buy a gym membership, and I could complain about all the reasons that I don't go to the gym, but I'd be deceiving myself. I just wouldn't go because I didn't want to go. I'd rather read a book or watch TV or sleep in the morning, or who knows what the excuse I'd come up with would be. But a part about living in the world is being honest about the true reality of the situation in which you find yourself in. As human beings, there's a part of us that likes to deceive ourselves. We're all a little more handsome or beautiful than we really are. We're all a little more well-liked than we probably really are. We're probably all a little more intelligent than we really are. We're a little more financially stable or a little more hip or cool or with it or funny, you name it, than how others perceive us to be. And that's fine. But if we're to grow as human beings, we need to confront ourselves for who we are, for the reality of our lives. This is what we find in St. Paul's reading today. St. Paul is going from village to city to village to city, and on his way he is spending time, and he is starting small little congregations of faith. And some people are looking at St. Paul and they're saying, you know what? Paul is all about Paul. He wants people to worship him He wants people to be his followers. He wants the prestige. He wants the glory. He wants all these things. And so Paul writes in our reading today, Paul says, it is not about me, but it is about Jesus Christ. In Romans, Paul will say, all we preach is Christ and Christ crucified. And that is still the calling of the church today. We aren't about programs. We aren't about buildings. We aren't about fundraising. At the core of who we are about preaching Christ and Christ crucified. We are about talking about, learning about, praying about, rejoicing about the fact that Jesus Christ, God, came into our world. That God has lived with us. That God has taught us. That God has suffered and died and risen for us. This is the core of what we believe. But Paul says, you know what? Some people aren't going to buy into that. Paul says the God of this world is a small g God, a false God, a fake God, a pretend God, a deceiving God. St. Paul says the God of this world has clouded the vision of many. They don't see the importance of Christ and Christ crucified. They see meaning in other things. They see importance in other things. They don't see reality for how it is. I'm called to preach Christ and Christ alone. But if you've been here for any number of Sundays, you'll know I talk about myself a lot. I talk about my family and my marriage and my children. If I go fishing, I'll talk about that. If my truck breaks down, I'll talk about that. So how am I preaching Christ and Christ crucified? Because how do we experience Jesus? We experience Jesus, we experience God in the lives that we live. But we're called to be honest with ourselves. We don't experience God and Christ in a pretend life. In a life in which we have attained perfection. When we are totally self-satisfied. Totally happy. We find Christ, we find God. During times of intimacy. During times of wonderment. During times of despair, during times of mourning, during times of sickness, and yes, during times of joy and triumph. But as we go through life, we are called to look for the risen Christ. And that is a life that we are called to share with one another. We are called to share with, yes, how the forgiveness of God is real. Yes, how the blessing of God is real. Yes, how Jesus saves. Yes, how God cures. For Paul, there's two types of people in the world. Those who are saved and those who are perishing. We are saved because we recognize the presence of God. We find God in the simple life that we share with our family. We find God in complex geopolitical events. We find God in a snowstorm like yesterday. We find God in the waiting room of our doctor's offices. We find God in the birth of grandchildren, in barbecues spent together, in days at the beach, you name it. We find God in all of life. And the more that we find God in life, the more we are saved and the more we are blessed. Because the closer we become to God. This is growth in Christian life. Luther calls it sanctification. To be sanctified. To be made holy. To grow. It's like that gym membership I started talking about. Simply owning a membership to the gym does not make me lose a single pound. It doesn't make me bench press one more pound. Having a membership card by and of itself does nothing except give me the opportunity. The opportunity to put it to work. To spend so many hours a week utilizing it. To grow. If I buy a library full of books and never read them, I have not got one iota smarter. If I buy myself a full mechanics tool set and never pick up a wrench, I never fix anything. Simply having access to something is no guarantee of improvement. Simply having access to God is no guarantee of growth. We need to put things into use. If we have books, we need to read them to learn. A gym membership, we need to go there and physically lift weights. A wrench set. We need to actually turn a bolt. And in the process, we accomplish something. Christian life, that which we're called to, is about Christ and Christ crucified. It's about what God has done for us, what God is doing for us, and where God is taking us. But that's the access. That's the on-ramp to growth, to life as we live it. We are here today and we've come together as Christians and we will pray and we will sing and hopefully we'll be nourished and we'll go out into the world. And as we do so, and each of us lives a uniquely individual life with their own joys and own struggles and own fears. But each of us is called to see God every day involved in that life. Something as simple as a sunrise, something as complex as death. We are called to see God involved. And the more we look for God, the more we struggle to find God, and the more we pray and ask God to make himself present, the more we grow in God. The stronger we become. The more intelligent we become. The better we're able to fix things. Simply labeling ourselves as Christian doesn't do it. If I simply own a cooking set, I can't call myself a chef. If I simply own an easel and a pack of pastels, I can't call myself an artist. I own a guitar and I can't call myself a musician. Because I do not utilize them. I could learn to. I could take art classes. I could take music classes. I could study. I could work, I could labor, I could learn, and I could reach some level of proficiency. But until I do any of those things, I can't call myself that. If I was getting my appendix out, they rolled me into the OR, and the surgeon had a copy of Surgery for Dummies beside the desk, I'd probably say, hold off on the gas mask. But he'd say, look, I bought a scalpel and I have a book. A lot of Christians are doing the same thing. They say, look, there's grandma's old Bible in the bookcase somewhere. And I think 40 years ago I was baptized, so I'm okay. That's the beginning stages. That's the start of our growth and our learning. There are those who are being saved and there are those who are perishing. The only difference is growth. How are we growing in the Spirit? How are we seeing God at work? Every day God is doing something new in each of our lives. Every day God is doing something new in the world. We are being forgiven. We are being strengthened. We are being educated. But many people miss it because they're not clear with the reality as it presents itself. And they miss out on a great blessing. They miss out on a great opportunity. I close today by looking at Christ's last words down the mountaintop. He's with Peter, James, and John, and they have this great experience. The voice of God comes. Prophets are there. He's shining a dazzling light. His divinity, his glory is displayed for those three disciples who are there. The voice of God comes down and says, this is my son, the beloved. Then what God says next is very interesting. God doesn't say, look at him. God doesn't even say, worship him. What God says is, listen to him. Learn from him. Grow with him. Take what he says. Put it into practice in your life. Test it out in the world. That's our calling. To grow. To listen. To test. And in the process, we grow more fully into the image of Christ. For me, that's good news. I'm glad you're here this morning. There are many who've chosen not to come today, last month, last year, or last decade. And they will deceive themselves. They will count themselves among the saved. And only God puts the sheep and the goats into whatever category. But in terms of being saved, in terms of sanctification, in growing and supporting and serving and worshiping and praying, We're together, not because Pastor Sheldon said, hey, come together. We're together not because the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada said, hey, come together. We're together because God said you should be together. You should be in community. You should pray together. You should study together. You should worship together. You should celebrate the blessing of baptism and communion together. And that is what we do. It's Christ and Christ crucified. It's always about Jesus. Because Jesus is always involved in our lives. From the small to the large. We're just called to look. Amen.